13. While we're turning over there, how many of you are members of this church? By raising your hand. All right. As long as I've been here, we're going into our fourth year, I think, something like that. I've not asked anybody to do anything as far as you have to. You don't have to. Still don't have to. But I would love it if you are not going to be here tonight, if you would go and listen to tonight's message that we will record. It is directly to the church, okay? And that means our church. So it's, let me preface by saying this. You don't have to do anything to be a member of this church other than believe in Jesus Christ and ask to join it. Amen? That's it. That's the qualifications. There's not super saints here. But there are some things at our church we absolutely need to hear and know what God says about certain things. Amen? So I would encourage everybody, if you're not going to be here, if you can be here, be here. But if you're going to be across the street in Awana or you got some other thing going on, I'd appreciate it if you'd check that out and listen to it and take it to heart. Now, you ain't got to do anything. Like I said, believe in Jesus Christ. Repent. Let Him be the Lord of your life. That's it. Amen? But I will give you some direction as your pastor. I think some things that will help our church and help our ministry here. So with that being said, 2 Kings 13 and verse 14. Today, we're going to use a lot of type and shadows. When you're preaching out of the Old Testament, there's a lot of type and shadows. There's a lot of things that point to Jesus Christ. To point to the character of God. But Jesus had not came to earth yet and not died on the cross and not been resurrected. So they had to believe by faith and trust God and God's character. That's the same thing we do, but we already have the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. So there's only a lot of things I'm going to share today in type and shadow that we already know in Jesus Christ, but I want to tie some things into it. So if you would, go to 2 Kings 13, verse 14. Now this first verse has got so much meat in it, I don't know if I'm going to get done with it. But I'm hoping to get somewhere around 19 or verse 20. Everybody's scared to death now. Now Elijah was fallen sick of sickness whereof he died. And Joash, the king of Israel, came down unto him and wept over his face and said, O my father, the chariot of Israel and the horsemen thereof. I thought this was amazing when I first read it. Elijah, the double portion prophet, the miracle working man, God's man, a man who says it and it happens, is dying. Whoa. A holy man, a righteous man, is laying on his deathbed. He is sick unto death. And I'm sitting here thinking, man, I thought if you believed right, you won't have to face no death problems, sick problems, financial problems, mental problems, health problems. Well, I hate to tell you, but it comes to everybody. I wanted you to see that because sometimes we overlook and we think maybe some Christian somewhere has got so much faith that they live a life that's not touched by physical ailment. I hate to tell you, they don't. Can I share a little deeper than that? Matter of fact, the more you trust in God, the more you love God, the more you look forward to God, the more you serve God, the more trouble you're going to get into most of the time. Golly, let's leave now. We're all depressed. Amen? Because sometimes if you don't listen to Christianity right, you listen to the wrong preacher and teacher, you would think, praise God, after you get saved, it's just a bed of roses. Things are going to be so easy. Life's going to just turn around. Let me tell you something. It's not the case. Your eternity has turned around. Your eternal life has turned around. Your sin condition has turned around. Guess what? Your spiritual man is alive. But praise God, you still live here. And Elijah, I mean, man, I was thinking a double portion. Ain't he going to get the same treatment that Elijah got? Ain't he going to go out on a ball of fire riding on the horse and chariot? No, he's laying there sick, but I want to give you two characters. Joash, a wicked king, a wicked man of God, scared out of his mind. I love this. A lot of times we think lost people, we look into the world and we think, man, they're not afraid of nothing. They've got it all under control. They are fierce. They are roaring. They got no worries. It's quite the opposite. They're scared out of their mind and they don't know what the end is. Joash was the king of Israel, and you know what he heard? He heard the prophet, the man of God, is dying. And guess what? He went down to the house of God. He went down to where he was and he wept over him. Here's this wicked man weeping over this dying holy man. It's never too late to come home. It's never too late to turn to God. It's never too late. I'm too bad. I'm too wicked. I've done too much. Forget that. There's too much scripture that debunks that. There's too much Bible that tells me that you're not bad enough. Amen? Some of you sitting in this very room are going, I don't know, brother. You got to convince me I'm not too bad. Well, guess what? Every one of you are in your right mind. I won't ask your wife. You are clothed. Amen? Amen? I see the clothes on you. You're not cutting yourself. You're not screaming and hollering and running and doing all those things, and you're not living in the tomb. So guess what? God can handle you. God took a demonic man who was naked and cutting himself and living in the tombs. And when he ran to Jesus, Jesus didn't even flinch. He ran all the way down there, slid on his feet. What do we have to do with thee, thou Son of God Most High? Jesus said, what's your name? Come on, help me out. He said, what's your name? Yeah, he said, what's your name? He said, Legion, because we are many. The devil makes himself sound tough. But the next words that came out of that legion of devils, please don't cast us into that swine and don't cast us into the water that we die. Amen? Your problems are not too big for God and it's not too late for you to serve God. Amen? I love this wicked king. He came down and he got, listen, it wouldn't do us, any of us, any harm to look at the dying, the old, the people who have went before us and have paved the way. A lot of times in this generation, we forget somebody paved the way for us. We forgot the pioneers. We forgot the people who laid the cornerstones. We forgot the person who laid the foundation. We forgot the person who built the first church and the second church and the third church and the fourth church. We look at them and say they're slow and they're not doing this and not doing that, but we forgot that they gave their blood, their sweat, their tears, their money, and their effort. And while you're blowing past them every while, it wouldn't hurt for you to stop, slow down, look them in the eye, weep over them, and say, thank you! Thank you for an opportunity to serve. Thank you for an opportunity for the church. Thank you for paving the way. Thank you for when it wasn't easy. Hallelujah. If you won't amen me, I'll amen myself. You already know that. I'm just telling you, you got to look back sometimes to find out where you're at. Respect. I love this. Look at the words. I want to share this with you. Look what Joash said. He said he'd wept over his face and said, oh, my father, the chariot of Israel and the horsemen thereof. Do you know where he got that saying? That's the same saying that Elijah said over Elijah. Amen? Elijah in 2 Kings chapter 2, verse 12, that's exactly what he said to Elijah when he was leaving. He leaned over him and he said those exact same words. He said, oh, I'm scared because the defense is leaving. God is leaving. There's a great man of God who's leaving. Who will defend us? Amen. He was saying, oh, this is a great thing. Guess what? One of the most wicked people in the world came on his deathbed, leaned over him and said the same thing to him. When you think you ain't doing no good, when you think you haven't wretched anybody, you ain't touched nobody, you ain't thought, oh, my useless efforts have gone unheard or unseen. God said, no, I'll bring somebody down that you wouldn't even think heard you. Some of y'all need to keep serving in your communities. Keep serving in your workplace. Keep serving God. You know why? Because people are watching you. They are seeing you. are hearing you. And when you at least expect it, the most wicked one, the one that you thought would never turn, will turn. Man, I've seen it 100 times, if not more. I love that, amen? I bet he wouldn't expect it. I'm thinking, oh man, what does this wicked king want? He came down to weep over him and say the very words that he said to his mentor, amen? The very words that he said to the man that he took his place. Amen? I love this. You see the polar opposites. You see one man who served himself and is scared out of his mind. And you see a man named Elijah on his deathbed and he's still trying to serve God. How many of you are still trying to serve God? Despite of how you feel, despite of how you look, despite of how things look, I'm going to keep serving Him. I love Elijah, amen? Sitting on his deathbed, probably thinking about, wondering who's going to do my funeral. Amen? Verse 15, and Elijah, now look at this, I love when there's some in the tank. Elijah said unto him, take a bow and arrow, and he took unto him a bow and arrow. Now listen, I love this. We got a bow and arrow up here in a minute, and I'm going to use Riley as my demonstrator this morning in a minute. But I got a bow and arrow, and he asked him to take a bow, and these are type and shadows. That one man was not going to fight the army. One man ain't going to beat everything, but praise God, he said, what you need to do is you need to take up the weapons that God tells you to take up. Amen? We've got some weapons that God has given us. We have faith in Him. Amen? We have a Bible. We have prayer. Amen? We have some weapons that we need to take up when we're facing the enemy. You're wondering why you keep getting worn out? You never talk to God. That's why you keep getting wore out in the battle. You never read about God and God's Word, so you wonder why you're always trying to figure stuff out when God's gave you already an open book test with all the answers written down. I can't tell you so many times where I have reacted, overreacted, and then went back and read in the Word of God, and it told me exactly what I should have done before it even happened. Amen? Some people say, why do you read the Bible? Because guess what? You put it in. The Holy Spirit of God discerns it. So when you come up on a place where you need the Word of God, it'll automatically start coming out of you, and you will sound wiser and look wiser than you could ever imagine. Man, I've said some things that are biblical, and people go, man, you're pretty smart, and I have to look behind me. Are you talking to me? Because it ain't me. It's the Word of God. It makes you wise. Because God's wise. That's His character. Come on up here, Riley. Take up that bow and arrow, if you will. Just don't shoot anybody. If we shoot somebody in the message, we're going to have to pray for a miraculous healing and a new job. Me. All right? Y'all good? Elijah said unto him, take up a bow and arrows. And he took up the bow and arrow. And he said unto the king of Israel, put thine hand upon thy bow. And he put his hand upon the bow. And Elijah said, put his hand upon the bow. Do me a favor. Look east, right? Pull that bow and arrow back. Just a bow. Look, we don't want to shoot none of those fine folk. Scoot up some. Y'all, matter of fact, turn around and face him. I don't know how long you can hold it like that. He ain't got an arrow in it. Don't worry. Do you see him? He told him, I want you to take the bow and arrow and I want you to face. I want you to look. Look at this. He said, I want you to take and I want you to stand up. I want you to face your enemy. Let me read this. And Elijah said, take up the bow and arrow. 16, he said to the king, Israel, you can relax for a second. Put thine hand upon the bow. And he put his hand upon the bow. And Elijah put his hand upon the king's hand. And he said, open the window eastward. And he opened it. And Elijah said, shoot. And he shot. And he said to the... And he said, the arrow of the Lord's deliverance and the arrow of the deliverance of Syria, and thou shalt smite the Syrians in Aphek till they have been consumed. So he tells him, he said, face east out that window. Do that. And when he did that, he said, pull back on the arrow. And I know what he's thinking. Now Riley's thinking, wait a minute. And you're thinking, I can't face that enemy out there. Go ahead and relax. I can't face that enemy out there. I can't face drugs and alcohol. Some of you in this room, you can't beat drugs and alcohol. Some of you in this room can't beat depression and fear. Some of you can't beat your lying, your stealing, pornography, sexual activity before marriage. Amen? Some of you can't beat it. You can't. You've tried. This army is too big. This army is two-faced. So I want to tell you, the first thing you got to do is you got to face your real problem. You got to look at it. He said, look, it's out the window. Turn directly towards it. Some of you need to be honest with yourself. You're struggling in certain areas, but you won't tell nobody, especially God. But God knows exactly where your enemy is. He knows exactly who he is, and he knows exactly what he is. So he said, turn and face him. And then he said, pull back, draw the arrow. Now do it this time. I said, yeah. And I know if Riley's standing there and he's going, but wait a minute, I got the weapon and I'm facing my enemy, but I'm still not strong enough. I'm not good enough. But God, even to this wicked king, Joash, he said, when you're drawing on your enemy, I'll come alongside you and I'll help you. Amen. You're not going to stand before your enemy in your strength and by yourself. I will stand with you in front of your enemy with my strength and your strength together, and we will overcome. Thank you. We will overcome. When I was sitting here getting ready for that message, I was sitting right there a minute ago, and I thought, how many times since I've been saved, when I fought one of my biggest enemies, when I stood up against my biggest enemy, I thought, my God, I can't do this. And then I felt a hand come around and wrap around my hand. Amen. Have you ever been so afraid? My God, somebody help me preach. Have you ever been so afraid that you weren't going to be able to do something, and all of a sudden somebody comes and put their hand in your hand? See, God puts his hand, the big father puts his hand in the hand of the child, and he puts his hand on the front to keep you steady and then pulls it back to keep the strength. God will steady you. So in your worst fear, God will overcome. Amen. When you're standing in front of those drugs and alcohol, let God come in. Face your fear. Face your weakness. Face it and let God come on board. Let Him get a hold of you. Amen. You'll be able to stand. Lying, fear, pride. You cannot stand against these enemies without God. You have to let Him get involved. If you keep going back alone, you'll keep getting defeated all alone. I love this. I thought to myself, my gosh, that's how God does. He gives us the tools, He gives us the ability, and then all of a sudden He gives us the strength to stand while we're facing it, while we're looking at it. Some of y'all need to look exactly at what you're going through, exactly who you are. The enemy knows exactly where you're weak, but God knows how to be your strength. This next part is one of my favorite parts. This is the title of the whole message. Do you really want victory? Let me ask you a question. Do you really want victory over your sin? Do you really want it? Do you really want to stop looking at pornography? Do you really want to stop lying? Do you really want to stop acting out sexually? Do you really want to stop using drugs? Do you really want to beat the pride? Do you really want to do these things? Do you want to really, I'm going to ruin myself. Do you really want to stop complaining so much to everybody? Do you really want to stop gossiping? Carrying tales. The question is, do you really want it? Because guess what? Look what he did. Verse 18. And he said, take the arrows. I'm not going to break these, I hope. He said, take the arrows. And he took them. Joash, that wicked king, arrows, the power of God. He gave the deliverance that God had given him. And he said unto the king of Israel, smite upon the ground. And he smote thrice and stayed. Here's what he did, Peyton. Here's what he did. Whatever you're struggling with, you really won't beat it. David? God, I really want some help. I want to beat that thing, God. I want some deliverance, God. I'd do anything for you to save me. Oh, God. See, Joash was worried because Syria was mounting it on the eastern border, and they were going to come in and destroy everything that he had, and he was weird. He really didn't know how much he trusted God, but God gave him a blessing. God gave him an answer, and he said, you're struggling with something. He goes, you really want to beat it? You really want to kill that thing? Do you really want to destroy it? Do you want to really get rid of it? Do you really want to? Do you really want to beat that in your life? Do you really want it to go away? Do you? Do you want it to disappear? Do you want the fight to be over? Do you want it? 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 Do you want to win? That's what he asked him. Do you want to beat the enemy? Are there something you're struggling with? Do you really want to beat it? Because when the king of Joash said, you know what I want? I want it to go away. No. I don't want to deal with the consequences. I just want to get comfortable again. I just want to be able to come to church and enjoy church again. I just want my family to stop arguing. I wish we could just, you know, we don't have to. I just want to find out, you know. I just want to feel better. It said the man of God got mad. And he said, because you only hit it three times, you're only going to beat him three times. He said, why didn't you? Why didn't you go five or six times? That way you could have utterly destroyed it with the weapons that God has given you. No, listen, I'm telling you. Listen, if he'd have been serious about it, I think he would have had to stop him. He'd have said, hey, stop! What are you doing? He goes, I don't care. I just want to get rid of it. I'm serious this time. I want to stop drinking. I want to stop lying. I want to stop living in fear. I want to stop doing the things that I'm doing that God's not pleased with. You're going to have to stop me because I'm going to use everything God's given me, or you're going to have to just say, whoa, whoa, whoa. That'll do, buddy. But I believe Christians, we're just like that. We just want to do enough to feel better. Just do enough to feel better. See, I'll just go to the altar one more time, feel better. I'll come to church. That'll solve it. I'll quote a scripture. God, look. If you're really serious, you take the weapons of God and you repeatedly use them and use them and use them and use them. I think about Abraham when he was about to slay Isaac and he's about to come down on him with that knife. And God says, whoa, whoa, whoa! Stop! There is a sacrifice for you. I wish some of us would get serious about our problems and our issues and stop beating around and just start giving it everything they got in Jesus. Pray like you want to change. Read like you want to change. Worship like you want to change. Come to church like you got to change. Don't come to church, oh, I got to go. Guess what? If you keep that attitude up, guess what? God will send somebody in here who wants to go, and praise God, He'll let you not go. My biggest fear, I hate to tell you this, sometimes I'll say, well, Wednesday I got to preach. Or this Sunday I got to preach. God reminds me every time, hey, Kevin, do you got to? Or do you want to? And I tell him every time, I want to. I get to. I love to. Because I remember where he found me. And you remember where he found you. Listen how good Elijah was. Elijah prayed for a double portion from Elijah. You know what his last miracle was? Let's read about it. And then I'm going to close. Scott, come on on. Come on. And the man of God was wroth with him. Verse 20. And Elijah died. Huh? And Elijah died and they buried him. And the bands of the Moabs invaded the land at that coming year. In the spring of that year after he had died, it came to pass as they were burying a man that, behold, they spied a band of men, and they cast the man into the sepulcher, into the grave of Elijah. And when the man was let down and touched the bones of Elijah, he revived and stood upon his feet. Woo! They were still alive wire in the ground. Amen? There was still a live wire in the ground. Elijah's bones were laying in the sepulcher, and the enemy was coming. So they rolled him, they had to roll the dead body into the tomb. And when the body flipped over and fell onto Elijah, he came alive. Amen. Jesus was still working through a dead man to bring another dead man to life.
Amen.
I hope somewhere down the line, I'm just being a little bit want-tos here. I hope somewhere down the line, one day, somebody stumbles up on an old recording at Flat Top Independent Church, and some dead man rolls up on the bones of an old preacher and gets salvation through what he left. Amen. Amen? Are you leaving enough? Are you leaving enough to touch the next generation? Let's all stand as he gets the song. As he sings.